obsessed.
Okay, we back.
Yay! Don't mind me, I'm just texting from my computer.
Fucking weirdo.
I still think this is so cool. Like, I will message someone using iMessage on my laptop and I will tell them about it and be like, I just messaged you from my laptop, and they're like, this is not news. Like, lots of people can do this.
I still get iMessages through on my fucking Mac, and I was like, I've had an Android for 4 years. Stop.
Oh, gosh.
Hi, I'm Ash.
I'm Laura.
And this is part two, not part two, really. I mean, it's a different episode, but it's a Laura-centric episode.
Yes, because we got a little bit enthusiastic last week. So this is a part two because we got a little bit enthusiastic last week and we both did massive faces.
For the first time in what we now realize is like 5.5 months, we didn't confirm with the other one how long our stories were. Last week I did the Black Dahlia, and even though the writing wasn't that long, it definitely is not the longest story I've ever written.
No.
In fact, it's one of the short ones I've ever written. But the sheer amount of bullshitting we did in between kind of fucked us up.
We were not very focused, I think that's fair to say. But also, like, it's a big case, so we had a lot to say
about
it.
Also, it's a kind of horrific case, so we sort of needed to interject and interrupt and talk about people accidentally doing meth to make sure that our brains didn't implode.
That's how we get through this podcast. Yeah. A lot of shit talking.
Just
relieves the tension.
So we don't really have a lot to catch up on, really. The only thing that's happened is
Oh, Milo came in for a visit.
Milo came in for less than 30 seconds and got kicked out immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yep, because it's the same day. We're literally just continuing on.
It's been 10 minutes since our last recording.
But what are 10 minutes?
Nothing happened. Go, I guess.
Over to me.
Tell me a story.
Okay, so after my very infuriating case, which will now be 2 weeks ago, where I talked about a certain cult leader who shall remain nameless. Did you just choke?
Uh-huh. It's fine. I took my last sip of chocolate milk.
Okay.
Also, I just thought about the fact that that is probably why I was stuttering so much last episode.
Why?
My throat's all clogged up because of the dairy.
Oh, good thing you're having chocolate milk.
Fuck, I'm an idiot.
Oh, well.
I'm not talking this time.
No, it's all me. So drink your chocolate milk away.
I finished it.
Go. Oh. Do you want to refill it before we start?
I think I drank it all.
Oh.
Anyway.
Anyways. So yeah, because my case was a lot, I decided to investigate something that was a little bit more bizarre, a little bit more, I don't want to say more fun, because it's not a pleasant topic sometimes, but it's just.
It's still more fun, likely.
It's more fun to talk about. Oh, thank you.
No, I want more of these. I'm giving Laura cards and I'm taking some back.
So because my case was like so horrible, I decided to do something a bit more fun to talk about. So I did a deep dive and a special investigation into one of my favorite subjects, spontaneous human combustion.
Fuck yeah!
That was the reaction I wanted.
Hell yes!
I have been like weirdly fascinated with this ever since I heard of the concept, because like, how crazy and scary is it that humans theoretically could just burst into flames?
My mum always told me I was going to cause it a spontaneously combust one day.
I believe that.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, like, not just for yourself. Like, of course, it's, like, terrifying to think you could just be chilling on the couch, watching a movie, and you just, poof, burst into flames. But also, like, think how weird that is. Like, you're out in public. You're just walking on the street, and just someone just bursts into flames.
Does that happen?
I haven't seen it, but after this case, I'm...
If you had seen it, I'd be very worried.
After this case, I'm fully convinced it could happen, but we'll get into it.
Okay.
Anyway, so I did my investigation. I found some notable cases, which, by the way, there are over 200 documented cases of spontaneous human combustion.
That's so many.
I don't go into all of them. Don't worry.
Good.
I do go into a couple because they were pretty short, so I was like, I'm just going to go into a couple of them. And I decided to find out what's what with people suddenly bursting into flames. So the first...
Did you write that word for word on your computer?
You know I did. I write pretty much everything I say.
Sorry, I just had to call you out on that for a second because it was funny.
Yeah, it is funny. I'm crossing my legs now. So the first thing to note is that the concept of spontaneous human combustion is considered pseudoscientific. In that there's a lot of science behind it, but none of it's really proven, and there's a lot of science against it, but it's kind of half proven, so it's like, we don't know. But the second thing is that we need to familiarize ourselves with the key ingredients of what's needed for fire to ignite and to be sustained, which is just that there's three important ingredients. Yes, Ashley.
I put my hand up. Oxygen.
Yes. Oxygen. What's the word?
Oxygen.
Oxidizing agent.
Right.
Which is usually the oxygen in our air. So theoretically, you could like use an oxygen tank, but it's
no fires in space.
There you go. No fires in space. So we need oxygen. The second one is you need heat or an igniting source. So you need like a spark or something like that. And the third is fuel. So you need something to keep the fire going, which can be like an oil or kindling or wood, or you just need something to keep the fire going.
Human fat.
Yes. I brought that up specifically.
it's the only thing I know about spontaneous human combustion.
Yes. don't worry, this is a pretty gross case.
Fuck yeah.
We talk about some pretty cool things.
2 weeks in a row.
I know. but this one is just a bit more fun to talk about. So we need to remember those three things because they're just important for all the stories, and I get real science-y later on. It's pretty cool. But yeah, so without those three things, a fire won't start and a fire won't keep burning. So now that all that's been said, here's a bunch of really weird cases of human combustion that I found.
Hell yeah.
So the first thing to know about is that spontaneous human combustion has been written about in literature since the 17th century, which is like yonks ago.
it's an official unit of time.
Yes. But it wasn't until the 19th century that this whole like concept really blew up, and it was like put in literature a lot more. Some really notable works include from people like Mark Twain, Herman Melville, which is like a name I know, but I don't know from where. But the big one that always gets referenced from like all of my research was a book called Bleak House by Charles Dickens. So in this book, it's basically about an alcoholic man, and in the end of the book, he suddenly bursts into flames and is reduced to nothing but ash with a dark, greasy coating on the walls and ceiling.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's pretty icky. This book was actually so controversial because of the human combustion that after the book had been published for a while, he then went back and wrote a preface for it where he cited real examples of human combustion, and then he got medical practitioners to talk about how the phenomenon was actually possible.
What, it went like insane because people were like, that couldn't happen, but he also wrote a story about a ghost.
Yeah, literally.
He wrote a story about the ghost of Christmas past, and people, okay.
No, yeah, people were fine with that, but the idea that a human could just burst into flames was too much. And he was like, guys, this like could happen. So he wrote.
Didn't he write about a whale swallowing a man whole and the man camps out in the whale's stomach?
Yeah.
Okay.
People did not bat an eye at that, but apparently bursting into flames was just too much. Apparently, like, okay, so it's Charles Dickens, so I don't think Stephen King was around, but just wait until those people see Stephen King, because he talks about way more than just that. But anyways, in usual Dickens sass, he finishes his little preface by saying, I shall not abandon the facts until there shall have been a considerable spontaneous combustion of the testimony on which human occurrences are usually received. Which I was like, what? That's a lot of words. But I think basically what he's saying is that
books are so long.
Yeah, no shit. He's like, I think he's basically saying, you know, I'm not going to abandon the facts that human combustion is possible until there's a lot of evidence to tell me that I should.
Right.
So he's just been sassy. So then follow.
So basically it was a long thing of prove it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was just Charles Dickens.
TLDR, prove it.
Yeah. Basically. Also during the 19th century, one of the reasons why human combustion became this big thing was, of course, the Christians. Because they were basically like, oh, well, most people who burst into flames are women, and women are descended from Eve and they're evil. So it's like a whole biblical thing.
Is that a link? Eve and evil?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Cause the whole thing is that Eve tempted Adam. So Eve is
the snake fucked them both.
Well, no, cause it's the woman's fault.
Of course. Everything right. Yes. Yeah. Of course. I forgot. Sorry.
Women are temptresses.
So temperamental, and I was like, yes.
Well, everybody knows that, but no, we're temptresses too, and every sin is a woman's fault, according to particularly the Catholic Church. But anyways, that's not what we're going to go into today. So that was kind of another angle for why this whole thing came up, and that, you know, if you're a sinner, you'll burst into flames, and people that do burst into flames, they're evil, and they kind of ran with it. But then following the 19th century, so in the 20th and now the 21st centuries, there's still more cases of human combustion being documented, and it's also still in our pop culture, including X-Files and South Park.
Yes.
Because, of course.
Survival South Park.
Yes. So that's a little bit of history, but now let's get into some actual cases. So December 24th, 1885 in... Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Do you need to say it?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Christmas. Christmas Eve.
That's Christmas.
It's Christmas. Happy Christmas. Merry Christmas. Sorry.
I knew you'd have to say it.
I think I'm having a sugar high.
You had a glass of chocolate milk. That's not surprising.
I had a brownie earlier too.
That'll do it. So yeah, December 24th, 1885 in Seneca, Illinois, Matilda Rooney was standing alone in her kitchen and she just suddenly burst into flames. The fire engulfed her entire body except for her feet, and there were no identifiable sources of ignition. Yeah.
Except for her feet.
Except for her feet. The fire also didn't spread anywhere else in the kitchen or the house, so it was just contained to her. The fire itself was so intense that Matilda's body was reduced to nothing more than ashes and a few bone fragments.
Except for her feet.
Except for her feet.
That's weird.
Wait for it.
I don't like that.
Her husband, Patrick Rooney, also died of suffocation from the fumes as well. There was no identifiable cause of the fire.
Imagine dying imagine dying choking on the smoke coming from your wife.
Yeah.
Wow.
That happened.
Not her feet, though.
Not her feet, though. July 2nd, 1951, in St. Petersburg, Florida, Mary Reeser was 67 and was discovered deceased by police when her landlady had arrived at Mary's apartment with a telegram, only to receive no response, and upon trying the door handle found that it was extremely hot to the touch. Mary's body was once again mostly ashes and was discovered on the armchair where she had been sitting at the time of her death. However, part of her left foot was still in her slipper and was unburned. Her backbone and her skull, which was described as shrunken to the size of a teacup, were also found amongst the ashes.
I don't think that's how that works.
It was apparently from the heat. It had, like, shrunken down.
Huh.
Mm.
Okay.
So really, really intense fire. Detectives noted that the room was once again untouched by the flames, except for the actual armchair that she was sitting on. That did show some damage. And plastic items that were close to the body had softened, but they weren't singed. They had just, like, melted a little. Yeah, I know.
I hate this.
Yep. This is why I deep dived. Ashley's now hugging a pillow, so she really don't like it. It's all right. The science makes it better. So, yeah, plastic things were melted but not singed. Now, the details of Mary's case were actually sent to J. Edgar Hoover, who was the director of the FBI. So all the evidence and all of her ashes and the bones and everything were packed up and they were sent off to him. And it was his conclusion that Mary had been incinerated due to the wick effect, which is a phenomenon where basically, and I don't think you're going to like this.
Oh, I know what this is and I know I don't.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay, so for people who don't know, basically what happens is when a body is burning, when the burns get deep enough to hit the subcutaneous fat levels and the other stores of fat in the body, the fat liquefies and it coats the person's clothing, basically turning them into an inside-out candle. Goodness. So it kind of keeps them burning. So his hypothesis was that Mary had taken her sleeping pills, which she usually takes, and she was basically so drugged out that even when she caught fire, she didn't realize, so she just stayed asleep.
All right. You're gonna go out that way, you might as well not know what's happening.
I mean, I agree, but like, how many pills did she take that she was on fire and didn't realize? Like, I don't know how many she was taking, but you'd have to take a lot for that to happen. And the theory was that she was smoking at the time, and so a cigarette's fallen and she's lit up and she just burned out. But the thing I have with this is that in my research I found no mention of any like smoking things. So like, there wasn't like a pack of cigarettes in the room, or there weren't matches, or there weren't lighters or anything found, because the room was untouched. Certainly, like, if she had been smoking, I would be like, oh well, the cigarette butt would be gone. Like, she was on fire, so that makes sense. But in terms of in the room, because usually
there's
like
no paraphernalia.
No. And so I was sort of like,
that's a good word.
I do really like that word. I think that's a good word. So none of that was found, which is kind of my issue with that theory. The other theory they came up with, This wasn't from the director of the FBI, though. This was, like, someone else. So another theory involved someone murdering her, taking her remains to a crematorium, but just for a little bit, so her feet weren't done. Then he brings her all together, brings her back home, sets it all up, burns the back of the chair and heats up the door handle, and then leaves in time for the landlady to still come and fill the door handle.
Why would you not just cremate her fully and spread her ashes and then nobody would know?
This is why this is one of the many reasons this scenario does not make sense. Mm-hmm. So I just had to mention that because it was so crazy. Like, first of all, like the ashes thing. Why would you not just cremate her fully and get rid of it?
Yeah.
As if nobody saw them. Like,
that's a good point.
You know, there's so many holes in it.
So also, like, how do you cremate somebody but not cremate their feet? It's a giant oven.
Exactly. Like, her feet were apparently untouched, so they weren't even singed or anything. They were just like, it stopped. So yeah,
I wonder if that's because there's not a lot of fat in your feet. Am I doing did I do a smart girl thing?
You did a smart. We get into that a little bit later, but yeah, that's pretty much why. Next case. September 13th, 1967 in Lambeth, London. Robert Francis Bailey was found deceased in a derelict building. Robert was a homeless man and a known alcoholic who was found by police who were called after people waiting for a bus saw flames coming from the building.
Yeesh.
Robert's body was described as having big blue flames emitting from a 4-inch slit in his abdomen. Yep. His teeth were also apparently clamped down on a post on the staircase next to where he was lying. Yeah, this one's bad.
Sounds like he was giving birth to hell.
Pretty much. Like,
this is a C-section, literally, of hell.
Literally, it was like a 4-inch...
Hell C-section. That's what this episode's called.
Hell C-section, yep. He had a 4-inch laceration down his abdomen and big blue flames were coming out of it. And, like, the police have gotten there and been like, what the fuck? So, in a particularly...
That's some demonic bullshit, that is.
In a really grisly detail, the fire was extinguished when the officers forced a hose into the abdomen and it essentially put it out from the inside out. Yep. Yish. At first, what they thought was that because Robert was an alcoholic who was known to drink denatured alcohol, which for people who don't know is basically the alcohol without the beverage bit in it. It's just basically pure ethanol, but
it's cleaning fluid basically.
Pretty much. So that's what he drank, but basically that the saturation of his body was basically alcohol at this point, and that's kind of how he's caught fire, like something has lit him up. But the thing with this theory is that a lot of scientists don't believe that the alcohol content of a human body can't actually get to that level. Like, it can be higher than usual, but it can't get to the point that you're basically like a walking Molotov cocktail. Like, it's just...
That is the best expression I've ever heard.
Well, it was the best way I could describe it, you know? Because basically their theory was that he was near like a gas leak or like something. He was like near a flame and he's just like incinerated because his body is so alcoholic at this point. But a lot of scientists don't think this is possible. The other point was that when the investigators were looking around for an ignition source, they couldn't find anything because he wasn't a smoker. He didn't have any cigarettes, matches, lighters. There were no open fires. There was nothing. So how did the fire even start in the first place?
That's where the hellspawn comes in.
Hellspawn is my best guess for this particular case.
Hellspawn that was also an alcoholic.
Yeah, particularly like the fact that this is how the police officers described it.
Denatured alcohol is just hell semen.
Yeah, guys, just if you're over the legal drinking age and you're going to drink alcohol, make sure it's proper alcohol, okay?
Yeah.
Not denatured alcohol.
I don't care how, okay, for legal reasons, I do care how old you are. I don't care how old you are. Do not drink bottom shelf vodka.
Don't do it. It burns and it's not worth it. Just spend a couple of extra dollars and buy the good stuff, okay? But yeah, so that was that one. It was also concluded that he basically just spontaneously burst into flames because they could not explain it at all.
I feel like there was definitely a few times in high school where I would have thought somebody in my like group of people I was hanging out with was like 90% alcohol by that point.
Oh god, yeah. there are some people who are lucky to be alive today.
Basically. And I've definitely drank some drinks that could have exploded.
Yeah. See, I don't drink those drinks. I make them for my friends. So.
Oh. There was one time where Tanner and I were out about to go to a, so we were doing pre-drinks at, before a concert.
Mm-hmm.
And we were out at this cocktail venue. And Tanner ordered the Corpse Reviver.
Oh, boy.
Fuck, that thing could reanimate the dead. My God. And it was in, like, this martini glass. And he, like, he ordered it not realizing that it was just going to be, like, four shots of different extremely strong alcohols.
Oh, my God.
And he sort of took a sip. And he was like, And I'd had two drinks in the time he'd had, like, two sips of this. Because it was just taking him so long. And then we were about to leave and he couldn't finish it. So I just do it like a shot and we go.
Oh, my God.
Then I was a walking Molotov cocktail.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things in the world is, what's that bottle? It's called like Vodkila or something.
That's like
vodka mixed with tequila.
You know, Liquorland here sells a bottle of vodka, but the bottle is plastic. There's something just so trash about that.
Oh my God. Okay, I remember in high school, I bought a bottle of, I think it was like Mishka vodka or something, but it was in like a plastic flask.
Ooh.
It was, I thought it was cute because I was like 18 at the time.
Did you even drink Passion Pop?
No, and I'm proud to say that to this day.
I drank Passion Pop once because it was like a friend's, it was my mum's friend's daughter's engagement party. And so they wanted to give me champagne that wasn't champagne. And so they bought Passion Pop thinking it was like non-alcoholic.
Oh,
because
no.
They were like, this has to be marketed to children, which it was.
It was.
But it also was alcoholic.
Yeah, it was. It was just very bad alcohol.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrible. I wonder if our American and other, like, outside of Australian listeners know what goon is.
Yeah. So if you don't know what goon is, it's cheap, nasty box wine.
Yeah.
I've had goon before, but like in university where you have like a
goon of fortune.
Oh, no, I did Goon Sunrises. They were good.
Hmm.
Do you know what they are?
Well, I'm assuming it's mixed with grenadine and orange juice because that's what a tequila sunrise is, but it's
not,
Goon.
Not grenadine. Raspberry cordial.
Oh, it's so much worse.
I mean, okay, in the bar it might be grenadine, but making them at home, no, it's raspberry cordial.
Oh, my God.
It was good, though.
So, did you ever play Goon of Fortune?
If I have, it was once, but I feel like I just watched people play it.
So you clip the, fuck, you clip the box
bag.
Wine bag.
Yeah.
So if you open the box, it's a silver bag, right?
Yeah.
You clip that full to a washing line that spins around.
Yeah.
And then you spin it, and then is it whoever it's, you either have to try and get as much as you can as it passes you, or whoever it stops on has to like keep drinking while somebody else does like another game to like determine the time that you have to drink for.
Yeah. But the best part of it is that the more drunk people get, the funnier it gets.
Oh yeah.
Like just drunk people chasing after a goon bag on a clothesline, like hilarious.
Yeah. There was also Cottesloe back in WA, they do sculptures by the sea. And there was that world's largest inflatable goon bag.
Oh, amazing.
It was just a giant aluminum pillow.
See, people say Australians don't have culture, but we do.
Yeah. Using a goon bag as a pillow on a night out.
Oh, yeah. Emergency pillow. There you go.
Anyway, that's some drinking lessons from Australians of what not to do.
Now back to spontaneous human combustion. So our next case is March 28th in 1970. We're now in Dublin, Ireland. Margaret Hogan was 89 and was found deceased in her home, and her body was described as burned almost to the point of complete destruction.
Ooh, that sounds metal as hell.
How good is that? Like, that's fucked up, but also I like those words put together.
That's good phrasing.
Yeah. I like how you're like, that's good phrasing, and I'm like, I like those words put together.
I like words. I like dem words, you dem god dare.
You speak good, though. Now, the creepy part about this was that this phrase was only used to describe the upper part of her body because her 2 feet and her lower legs below the knees were completely intact.
What the fuck? I hate that.
Yeah, it's because it's horrifying.
Hold on. You know when you see in like cartoon movies and stuff like that and a chicken explodes and then it's just two drums? Sorry.
It's fucked up how accurate that is. There's pictures. I didn't look at a lot of them. One of them came up on an article and I was like, yeah, that's accurate. But moving on. Plastic flowers that were on a table in the center of the room were completely liquefied, and the television screen that was 12 feet or 3.7 meters away, the screen had completely melted.
Oh, what the hell?
Hot fire. That's why that's happened. However, once again, the remainder of the room was completely undamaged by the fire that had killed Margaret. And in this case, it was noted that there was a small fire that was lit behind the grate of a fireplace. But after the results of the investigation at the time and a subsequent inquest in April of 1970, they found that this small fire in the fireplace had absolutely no connection to the fire that killed Margaret.
That's so weird.
Mm-hmm. Following the inquest and everything, her death was formally listed as death by burning with cause unknown.
Ugh.
Yep. Our next case. Okay, so there's a word in here that I have no idea how to pronounce, so I'm going to spell it.
Okay, hold on.
Okay. What are you looking at?
Give it to me.
Okay. E-B-B-W.
Ebby.
I was thinking ever.
E-B-B-W.
Yep.
Wait, E-B-B-W?
Yep.
Oh, I wrote Y. That's
all. Oh.
But it says Ebu.
Ebu. All right, Ebu. I'll say that. It's Welsh, so
yeah.
I don't speak Welsh.
Nobody speaks Welsh.
Okay, so this case is in 1980. There was no date listed. In, what was it, Ebu?
Yeah. Okay. You know, just speaking out about Welsh, when Mum and I were in Europe, I was driving a car through the UK and we were getting to Holyhead in Wales. And as soon as we like crossed into Wales, you knew we were in Wales because the signs changed from like caution and slow to arf, which means slow, and that's just very funny to me.
Arf.
And Mum and I yelled about it a lot.
Oh no.
Anyway, I love the Welsh language.
It's a beautiful language.
Sure, it's not.
Yeah, so this case is in Ebu Vale in South Wales.
Oh, Ebu Vale, yeah.
Yeah, that's where it is. So this is a man named Henry Thomas. He was 73. He was found burned to death in his easy chair after he somehow caught fire on the top half of his body. Once again, all that was left following Henry's demise was his skull and the bottom portion of his legs below the knees, which from reports were completely unburned and still clothed in socks and trousers. Yeah, icky. There was also a small fire burning in his fireplace, but again, this was proven to have no link to the fire.
I don't understand how the trousers don't burn.
It literally just stops.
That's so strange.
Yep. Yeah, so the fireplace that he had absolutely no link to the fire that had actually killed him. In fact, the best theory for this particular case that they could come up with was that Henry had somehow sparked his own hair while stroking it. And then basically he then walked over to his chair, sat down, and then just continued to burn until he died.
Mm, yes, because when I catch fire, I sit down in my armchair.
Yeah, funnily, that's what the trained crime scene officer said. He was like, no. No one with their head on fire would sit down in a chair and be able to sit still and just continue to burn. So they were like, yeah, no. And Henry's death was also formally documented as death by burning with cause unknown. They Weird. Could not figure it out. This is, I think, yeah, this is the last case that I've listed because it's a little bit different, but there are so many more. Like, I cannot stress how many cases there are and how many I wanted to talk about, but like for a time, I already wrote 8 pages on this and we're on page 4. So I had a lot to say. So our final case, September 15th in 1982 in Edmonton, London. This case was different because it was actually witnessed by someone. Mm-hmm.
No.
So Jeannie Saffin was 62 and from birth she was diagnosed with intellectual disabilities. So she was 62 and had the mental capacity of about a 6-year-old. So she lived with her father, Jack Saffin, who was 82. One day, the pair was sitting at the kitchen table when Jack reported seeing an orange flash out of the corner of his eye. He then wanted to turn to Jeannie and ask if she saw it too. He turned to face Jeannie and realized that Jeannie was on fire. She continued, though, to sit perfectly still with her hands folded in her lap.
No.
So she's just sitting there on fire. So, of course, Jack immediately ran to Jeannie and he's like grabbed her and dragged her to the sink where he's then trying to pull out these flames. He manages to put them out, but Jeannie suffered extensive burns to her face, hands, and abdomen to the point where the skin was actually burned off and down to the subcutaneous fat layer, which is third degree burns. Her face and her hands were described as pretty much destroyed, and after being transported directly to hospital for immediate treatment, Jeannie unfortunately fell into a coma and passed away 8 days later. Mm. So, horrible way to go.
Wow.
Now, for this one, the non-spontaneous human combustion explanation for Jeannie's death was that a piece of ash from Jack's pipe had somehow blown in the wind and landed on Jeannie and then suddenly engulfed her in this crazy fire. There are a couple of problems with this one for me. So the first one was that they found Jack's pipe and it wasn't burned at all. He had just packed it with fresh tobacco, which they were like, oh, well, this kind of proves it because maybe he like dumped out the old tobacco and refilled it. And then that's when like one of the ash with the open window had like blown up. And but I'm like, it's a small piece of ash and it's suddenly...
I mean, I have seen a small piece of ash cause a large bushfire before.
It has. I mean, certainly in bushfires, like where you've got, you know, things like that.
But it's
like
an ember, not just an ash flake. Yeah,
this is just like from a pipe. Hmm. So it's just like tobacco ash, which the other thing I'm thinking is with tobacco, because like anyone who's been around smokers or anything, sometimes you get like a little bit of it, like maybe on your jumper or something. You just go like this and you just stamp it out because you see it and you're like, okay, it doesn't like suddenly engulf you and all of a sudden you're on fire. So I'm like...
That would be so much more dangerous if it did.
Exactly. Like, unless she's sitting around, you know, doused in gasoline, I would be like, okay, maybe. But no, like, she's sitting there having breakfast with her dad. Like, I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense, just personally. But that was kind of what they came up with.
How did he put the fire out with water? Isn't a grease fire spread by water?
Well, it wasn't.
Have to suffocate it?
It wasn't started with grease.
Yeah, but human fat and grease is kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Well, I mean, this was sort of on her skin.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I don't really know. There wasn't a lot of details on, like, his methodology for putting out the fire. Like,
sure, I don't know why they would question that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, maybe he, like, tried water, it didn't work, and then he's ended up smothering it. But he's like, oh, no, I just ran to the sink. Like,
yeah,
we don't know exactly what happened. I don't know the mechanics of it, but it could be a point. Maybe, I don't know. The other thing that they sort of, there's a bit of a dispute on this. So the dad says that the fire seemed to be coming from inside of her mouth while she was on fire.
She's a dragon.
She a dragon. I think someone actually compared it to a dragon at some point.
Fuck yes.
So you're not the first one to do that. And the other thing was that apparently her clothes were unburned because she was burning from the inside out. These were disputed, though, because the hospital didn't say that there were any burns inside her mouth, even though she died of pneumonia from the burning and the smoke and everything, which I'm like, she would probably have burns in her throat, though. So
she died of pneumonia?
Yeah.
Isn't that just a really bad cold?
You can have pneumonia, the virus, but it also refers to excess fluid in the lungs, which becomes infected. So... you can get pneumonia from other causes. But if you know, I learned this from Grey's Anatomy, but if you have someone who has smoke inhalation, you always have to check their airways because A, the ash could still be in there, but also they could have scar tissue from the heat. So you do actually have burns inside your throat from just breathing it in, which I'm like...
breathing in like hot, yeah.
Yeah, which I'm like, if she died of pneumonia from these burns, like surely she had something in her mouth. So maybe they didn't check.
Unless they were being very separate about throat versus mouth.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, like, maybe the definitions were different. Maybe they didn't check. Or maybe there were none there. Like, I just don't know. But the hospital didn't report any. And the other thing was that I couldn't quite find who said this, whether it was the officers or the hospital staff or something, or if the dad said this. But he was like, someone along the way said that her clothes had to be removed, to help put the fire out or to, like, check something. I'm not sure. But apparently the clothing did show signs of burning.
I think if there's burns on your skin, they have to cut away the clothing as soon as possible so it doesn't get stuck to the fat layer and make it worse.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure whether it was the people treating her or whether her dad said that. I wasn't quite sure. So someone said it along the way. But the other thing that I'm thinking too is if she's like fully on fire and she's got third degree burns, it's kind of amazing that there was even clothes to remove. Like she's clearly been on fire for a while. Like wouldn't it be all... burned and falling apart anyway.
Well, yeah, sometimes it... So my friend... Fucking idiot. my friend was at the beach once. So this is a guy, Tanner, and I used to work with. He was at the beach and they were having a bonfire on the beach.
Right.
And he thought the fire was dying. He thought it was a good idea to make the fire bigger. So he just poured gas on it.
Oh my God.
It exploded, went into the tube he was holding, and he like lost most of the skin on his leg and he was in hospital for weeks.
Jesus.
But his pants that he was wearing were totally fine except for the main burn area. So they didn't burn away, mm-hmm. but what did burn burnt into his skin.
Yeah.
So maybe that's, they were trying to, like, it hadn't caught because it had already started melting into the skin, and then they just had to cut away the rest of it.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. Like, there's just not a lot of detail. So, yeah. It's like, I don't know specifically what clothes were removed. Was it tatters? Was it fully intact? Like, what are we talking here? So that's... It's undetermined, but some people are like, no, 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 like, this is how it was. And then other people are like, well, no, there's evidence that it wasn't. So this one's very much just undetermined and they still debate it and they don't really know how she even caught fire. So spontaneous human combustion. But like I've said a couple times now, I could literally go on about cases all day. There's a lot of weird stories like this. There's different circumstances, different people, like there's a lot of them. But we'll now move on to talking about some science.
Okay.
Because who doesn't love talking about science?
I like science.
I like science too. So from listening to these stories, the first point won't be all that surprising, but in 1823, there was a book entitled Medical Jurisprudence, which I looked up because I didn't know what it meant. It's basically like the law or like the theory or philosophy of law. So it's like these are medical laws.
What is it? How do you spell it?
J-U-R-I-S. P-R-U-D-E-N-C-E.
Jurisprudence.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see how that was written.
Yeah. yeah, so...
What a word.
That
was
a word.
You Google it and underneath it just says branch of knowledge.
Yeah, there you go. It's basically just like theory of medical shit. That's how I defined it.
Cool.
But they identified that in cases of spontaneous human combustion, there were some commonalities. And I want to note, these apply to some of them, not all of them. But they're kind of common themes. So the first point was that victims are chronic alcoholics. That does appear. Second is that they're usually elderly and they're usually female. The third is that the body has not burned spontaneously, but some lighted substance had come into contact with it, which a lot of those cases disproves that. But he was like, basically this guy was like, no, it can't happen. Like something's like a cigarette has dropped or like there's
fire. From a science point of view, it doesn't make sense for fire to just start out of nowhere. There had to be something that started it.
Exactly.
I think their point, yeah.
Yeah. Point four is that the hands and the feet usually fall off. Yeah. It's not good.
Cutting off hands and feet in my head from a true crime perspective is not, like, it's bad, but hands and feet falling off seems so much worse.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good at all. Five is that the fire has caused very little damage to combustible things in contact with the body. And six is that the combustion of the body has left a residue of greasy and fated ashes, very offensive in odor.
So everything about that is right except for the ignition.
Pretty much. These points are certainly interesting to note because they are common themes across all the cases, but it doesn't really make a case either for or against the spontaneous human combustion theory. So I kept digging. Some points that have been used to scientifically explain away the theory are as follows. The first is that ketosis, possibly caused by a prolonged history of alcoholism or a low-carb diet, causes a higher level of acetone within the body, which is, of course, highly flammable, and could maybe be ignited. However, once again, it's believed that the concentration level of this actually couldn't reach a high enough level without, once again, becoming a walking Molotov cocktail. And that you'd probably be dead if your acetone levels were that high that you could just suddenly ignite.
Yeah.
Another point is that the majority of human combustion victims are suffering from considerable physical limitations, including advanced age, obesity, or disability, and other things. So if they were to genuinely catch fire, like if someone set them on fire or something happened and they were on fire, they probably wouldn't be able to move anyway in order to put the fire out because they're physically limited, so they would probably just sit or lay there and burn, which is a horrifying thought when you think about it. But this combined with the wick effect hypothesis explains why you've got these people just like sitting in their chairs completely burned.
Your brain would melt pretty fucking quickly if it started around your head.
Oh, even before that, like the temperatures would cook everything and you would probably be unconscious and your body would be in shock. So you probably wouldn't feel it after a while and then you would just die. So this kind of explains how people would just sort of stay in their chairs and they weren't really, it wasn't really spreading anywhere. But I'm like, okay. Another note with the wick effect hypothesis, which is what you picked up earlier, is that the reason that the hands and feet are left is because they don't have a lot of fat on them. So basically the fire is burning, 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 and then it reaches these points and it just
kind of runs out of its main fuel.
Runs out of fuel, so it can't keep going. Another theory is self-immolation, which is a form of suicide where people set themselves on fire.
Fuck that.
Yeah. This accounts for about 1% of all suicides, theoretically. Mm. And they were like, well, maybe investigators just missed this, you know. But I'm also like, surely they would have accelerants. So you'd find like a gas can somebody or somewhere. But also
they just think about it really hard.
Yeah, just like, what's that movie? Firestarter by Stephen King. Just
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was
You know, you went to that and you know where I went?
Where?
I went to the Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah. That's cool, though. Just like,
flame on!
Flame on! Yeah, good movie. So this one is interesting to think about, but it's that the reason the surroundings aren't, like, burned and things like that is that fire tends to move upwards, not outwards. But I'm also sort of like, okay, but I'm like, you know, what about rugs and things like that? Like, surely if anything was in contact, it would be engulfed. But I'm like, why is it so localized? And why are there no, like, scorch marks on ceilings and stuff? Mm. You know, like, that is true. Like, fires usually go up and out rather than sideways. But it still doesn't explain everything for me. My next 2 points are direct quotes. So usually I paraphrase things and I try and explain it in my own words. But these two were so complicated. I'm just like... I'm just going to copy and paste. I understand
that. Let the experts do their experting.
Pretty much. So it's like, I understand what they're saying, but I'm just like, I can't rephrase this. So another explanation. So this is from a mast cell researcher named Lawrence Afrin, MD. He poses that a rare condition called mast cell activation syndrome, which is it's an immune disorder where basically you have lots of inflammatory responses. So like anaphylaxis every day. And it's a really horrible disease.
Yeesh.
But basically, there's a phenomenon with mast cell activation syndrome where basically the mast cells, which are the immune cells, they spontaneously release over 200 inflammatory molecules known as mediators, including a substance called noradrenaline or norepinephrine, which is flammable, by the way. That's when you have stress responses, you get the adrenaline. Right. That, of course, is part of immune responses. It's like when you have... like if someone has a food allergy, often they feel anxious when they have it, and that's the adrenaline pumping.
Hmm.
Afrin describes a case report where a man with mast cell activation syndrome grew really ill and appeared to smoke in the presence of several witnesses. So he wasn't like smoking cigarettes, he was like legit smoking.
Hmm.
Basically what he writes is that the release of the large amounts of norepinephrine and perhaps another mast cell derived substance could turn on a regulatory protein called UCP1 in greater than normal amounts. UCP1 causes adipose oxidization. So adipose means fat, basically. So you've got fat.
Have you ever watched Doctor Who?
No.
Okay. So there's these little monsters, but they're not monsters, but they're called the adipose.
Oh.
And they're these little fat babies.
Aww.
And they're the fucking cutest. Do I have an adipose? Oh, no, not there. I'll show you a picture.
Okay. Oh, they're cute.
Aren't they adorable?
I want one.
They're like the cutest fucking Doctor Who monster ever.
Oh, I want to squish it.
You should watch the episode. Just if you don't like Doctor Who,
okay,
fuck you, but that's fine.
I've never really watched it.
We should watch it.
Okay.
But it's really cute because like they're all about to be taken away in this spaceship because they're all coming from different people that like losing weight. And they were like piling on top of each other and they're just like real squishy. It's adorable. They look like little marshmallow babies.
Oh my God, I'm
going to... But kind of slippery.
Slippery marshmallow babies.
Yeah,
anyway. Get around that. Yeah, so basically this protein causes adipose oxidization, which is a chemical reaction that releases heat. So his theory is that when the adipose tissue is, so it's known as a repository of mast cells. So that's how it links into the mast cell activation syndrome. Okay.
Yes.
So under the right circumstances, a sudden flood of norepinephrine released from adipose mast cells could activate the UCP1 switch and cause heat generation in excess of 90 degrees Celsius. Once the adipose tissue was ignited, it would then in theory burn itself out, inclusive of bone marrow.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, that is very technical. And from my non-science brain, it sounds plausible, right?
Yeah.
But that would basically have to mean that all of these people have mast cell activation syndrome that they didn't know about into their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s.
And it's not something you can develop?
No. I don't know if you can develop it like later in life, but it's something you would definitely know you have. Like, you're very, very sick if you have this.
Yeah.
So plausible, probably, but likely.
Is it something that they could develop later in life, and because they're old, it's just brushed off as old age things?
Not that I know of. Like the people that I know, because some YouTubers have it, like chronic illness YouTubers I've seen, they have it, and they're like, they basically go through like EpiPens, like they're candy, and they're very, very unwell. They need lots of medication. So I don't think it's something you can suddenly get in old age.
Right.
I don't know for sure, but it is like an immune condition. I think you'd be pretty sure that you have it. The last point that I have, for science anyway, is that a British chemist named Dr. John Emsley suggested that the cases of spontaneous human combustion could be the result of an overproduction of a pyrophoric liquid called diphosphane, which is located in the gut. He postulates, remember these are quotes, so these are not my words. He postulates that the self-combustion of diphosphane would also result in the ignition of the hydrogen and methane gases in the gut, which would explain witness cases of blue flames that were seen to emanate from the abdomen, because methane burns in pale blue flames.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that doesn't really explain the ignition. Like, it's a pyrophoric liquid, but yeah. I don't think that self-ignites.
Also, how did that guy have a big 4-inch
cut
into his...
I mean, unless it was, well, because it said split, so I don't know if it was actually a cut or whether it burst open.
Oh, that's worse.
Oh, yeah. But supports the demon theory.
Yes, it does support the hellish C-section.
Funny we mentioned the hellish C-section, because some other arguments include ball of lightning, or just called ball lightning, which this apparently only came up because it's the only circumstance where someone has naturally observed charred limbs. Which I'm like, okay.
Okay.
That was the only reason. That was it. They were just like, where have we seen charred limbs before? Oh, someone being struck by lightning, but like a ball of it.
How did they get a ball of lightning?
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, unless it's like, you know how sometimes in like science labs, they can generate lightning?
Well, that's not lightning, that's electricity.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, move on.
But yeah, ball lightning, that was one. Another explanation was increased poltergeist activity.
Mm-hmm,
which I was like, yep. I'm like, you got a lot of spirits, got a lot of energy. They could
They're all arsonists.
Yep. I believe it. But my favorite theory was a guy who came up with a new subatomic particle called a pyrotron. And he believes that these could theoretically ignite within the human body with the presence of increased alcohol or the stress response, which would also release the norepinephrine. However, this last theory has received extreme criticism due to the fact that there was no reaction mechanism ever presented. So he was basically like, I believe in this subatomic particle. If you mix it with this shit, it could probably cause a fire. But they were like,
is the particle proven to exist?
No. And basically this other researcher has a direct quote in which he describes the theory as based on selective evidence and argument from ignorance.
Aww.
Yeah. Which I thought was a great quote, but I'm also sort of like roasted.
Suck it, bitch.
Yeah. So that's
but
like
also
a
good try.
Yeah. Just maybe do a bit more science though. So there's a lot of explanations there, but for me personally, like I believe strongly in science. So I believe all of that is credible, but it doesn't explain everything. I feel like a lot of those explain parts of the situation, but there's no explanation that kind of goes, yeah, well, that's completely plausible. And then you're like, well, maybe it's a couple of them put together, but you'd have to very specific circumstances packed together.
Yeah.
And the other thing is a lot of those rely on this, you know, source of ignition, which a lot of the investigations proved wasn't there. They were like, well, there weren't cigarettes around. This guy didn't smoke. The fire was proven not to be linked. So it's like, where?
Wonder how they ruled that out.
Well, I mean, they look for things. So it's like, for example, if a fire has jumped from something, you'll find a exit point and an entry point of where it's jumped over something. But then you have to have, again, you have to have fuel. So usually there will be like a path where things have burned. So like, for example, what was it? I think there was a case where someone had poured an accelerant on a fireplace. And what you saw was like the splash marks where the accelerant had splashed. And that's how the fire jumped across the room. Mm-hmm. So you can see direct paths of how the fire has traveled. Because again, like, you always need that fuel. So it's only going to move where there's fuel. So when they look at these fireplaces, they're still contained. There's nothing else that's moved.
Yeah.
There's no spread patterns on the floor, or there's no...
I really hate that, like, some of the pants, clothing, or things around them doesn't catch fire. That's the bit that gets me.
Yeah. And the other thing that I find really interesting is that, you know, all of these fires are said to originate from the core. So it's always from the chest and the abdomen, which, like, those are where all your organs are. They're the fattiest tissues in the body. And so it's like, well, if anything is going to start, you know, that it'd probably be there. This is why, like, even after all of this research and all of this reading, I went real deep with the science. I tried to just put in stuff that was, you know, accessible, because some of it I read and I was like, I don't know what that means. But even after all this, I'm just like, it's not explained for me. Like, there was nothing where I sat there and was like, oh, yeah, that's definitely it. Like, you know, how could I think it was spontaneous human combustion? But I'm like, it's just not explained away for me.
Yeah. Maybe there's like one or two atoms that just like are vibrating too fast and so fast that they kind of just randomly cause a spark.
Well, exactly. That's why I'm like, it's spontaneous human combustion. Because the other argument that some people say is like, well, why is it only humans? Like, why don't animals just randomly combust?
Because we're full of anxiety.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, humans are higher functioning. We have a lot more going on. I mean, the only thing I will say is if that stress was the cause of human combustion, I would have burst into flames years ago. So I don't think it's that. But I mean, you know, I think there are common themes. Like, it is usually elderly people and it is usually with higher alcohol consumption. But how do we know that, you know, maybe you reach a point where you're so alcoholic and you're just decrepit that your cells are breaking down?
It's not in all of them though. So it still doesn't work for everything.
It doesn't work for everything. So then I'm sort of like, well, what is it then? Tell me that.
Magic. Witches.
Yep.
Did they confirm for witches?
Did they confirm their witches? No one mentioned witches.
Nope. Well,
I'm playing. Also voodoo dolls. Don't think they looked into that.
Maybe they're all somehow from like really, really long time ago connected in some sort of bloodline.
That would be cool.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's your answer.
Sorted.
There you go, guys. People. Fuck.
It's a curse.
It's a cult.
But yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I always find spontaneous human combustion just a really fun conversation starter.
It's great because it's like, well, it's obviously it's not great, fuck. But
no.
It's just such a, like, it just doesn't, but it does.
It does.
But it doesn't.
Like, you can't hear those cases and be like, oh, well, that's straightforward.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's so many questions and it's like, the science just isn't there. You're like, how the fuck did this person burst into flames? Yup.
The only thing that I can think of that definitely does not work for all of them, but works for the ones in their chairs with a fireplace,
mm-hmm.
is that they died already.
Mm.
Had you know how you sort of decay into almost like liquefied.
Yeah.
And then the liquid just being of such a high fat, whatever, protein content, close enough to the flames just got too hot and started from there. But that doesn't, they would have to start towards the bottom, which doesn't work with the feet, but also the fire would have been out already.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. Like, liquefaction of a body takes a while.
Yeah.
And the feet were in pretty good condition.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't work.
I don't think that one works, unfortunately. But what are we missing? You know, there's something here that we don't know about. So
that's crazy. And because it's such a small amount of people.
Yeah.
Like, 200 is a lot, but also it's not a lot in terms of how many people die each day, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a lot when we're talking about spontaneous human combustion, but
yeah,
you know.
But like, it's just never going to be enough to figure it out.
No. We just like, and like, people have
maybe one day, like, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, DNA wasn't a thing. Maybe in 50 or 100 years, we'll know. And there's a little atom in there, and it's just angry.
Maybe a pyrotron is real. We don't know.
Pyrotron.
I don't think it. I think because it's called a pyrotron, I just don't want to believe it because it's a really dumb name. But
sounds like sounds like a fucking transformer.
Yes, it does. But yeah, that's a really good point because I think that's why I like it so much because it just feels like there's something we don't know.
Yeah, oh, there's like, definitely something we don't know.
Yeah, which I'm just like, what is it? Because there's some solid science there where I'm like, yeah, that stuff makes sense. Like the fact that, you know, fires go upwards, not outwards. I'm like, okay, great. But I'm like, what about this though? Because it didn't go anywhere. It just stayed on the body. Like,
yeah.
Spooky.
Yeah. So you did your recommendation session last week.
I did.
Mine this week is, last week you mentioned the new season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I have watched all that. It is good. If you have not watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine, go watch it. I also recommended Atlantis. I still stand by that.
if you watched it last week, maybe Ashley wants you to watch it again.
Yes. But in turn, I haven't really been watching anything new, but I have been playing some things new. So my recommendation is actually going to be a game, which, I mean, my favorite game of all time is Subnautica. So it's open world craft survival. And recently I've been playing a lot of Raft.
Okay.
So my recommendation is if you are a video game person, give Raft a go. And I've also been watching a lot of streams, which I've basically just been watching Bruce Green play Green Hell over and over again.
yeah, those are words.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure somebody else out there knows what I'm talking about. But, I mean, we watched Scott Pilgrim. I really haven't been watching anything new. I want to, but I don't want to watch Murder at the Cecil Hotel.
I watched it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I just, like, I know where they're going to go with what their answer was. And I don't want to accept that as the answer. I want there to be more.
Okay. I mean, if you don't want to shatter the illusion, sure, but they go into a lot of detail and, like, things I didn't even know about.
But also, there's one thing that I keep seeing, and obviously I haven't watched it, so I don't know for sure, but I keep seeing that in the documentary they say that the lid on the top of the hotel was open, which is the first time anyone's ever heard that it was open. Everything else has always said it was closed.
Oh, they address that.
They do?
Okay. That's a big theme of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess my homework... Your homework is to watch Atlantis.
I've seen it, though. I have seen it. Just...
Okay. Well, my homework...
Okay.
My homework is to watch Murder at the Cecil.
Did you end up watching Surviving Death?
No. Did you watch Bletchley Circle?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, have you watched any more on that, the reality channel?
That Hey You.
Yeah.
I watched a bunch of cult stuff, and then I watched some Buried in the Backyard stuff, but it's a channel that's all based on reality TV series.
Okay.
So some of it's not great.
Right, which, okay.
I'm sure there would have been some other stuff that was pretty good, but I just cancelled the subscription because we don't need another one.
Okay.
but, yeah, so, okay, well, my homework then is to watch Murder at the Cecil Hotel.
Yep.
And then we can talk about it next week.
Yes.
Okay. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you hop onto the Instagram, which is Dead Obsessed Podcast. We are taking submissions for stories that, you know, just any sort of experience stories that you guys have that you think be interesting to tell. And hop over to the Facebook page. We've had more and more people jump into that, which is nice.
We sure have.
And that's just Dead Obsessed Podcast on Facebook. The email is deadobsessedpod@gmail.com if you want to send in your stories that way, or on the website or the Instagram, there is a form you can fill out. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. I've been Ash.
I've been Laura.
And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Is Dead Obsessed.